Okay, well, welcome back, Kendall. You've been in Mexico. I missed you so much.
I missed you too, and I'm gonna continue missing you because I got the
I know, I
Rona
can't believe it. I just can't believe that we got it back to back. Like, of course, I just tested negative yesterday,
Oh, that's good.
and you tested positive yesterday.
Oh my God. Actually, yeah. When one ends, another starts. And unfortunately, that is me.
So, I think the last time we saw each other was actually, I'm gonna look at the calendar. Let's see. So, I still sound really stuffy.
Great. Am I gonna sound?
You sound actually very fine. You sound totally normal.
But I was really hoping I was gonna be like, nope, you're good. But then I did it and I was like, is that a faint line? And I thought of you because I was like, and I took a test the night before and I was shining my light on that. I was like, Colby's was faint. Like, I need to look and nothing on what was that Friday night. And then yesterday, I was like, all right, like, I still have a sore throat. It could still be from travel. Who knows? Let's take it. And I was like, that's not right. That's not right.
The last time we saw each other in person, I think, was the 7th, July 7th. So, first and foremost, happy birthday. How does it feel to be 29?
29 and feeling fine.
You're almost to 13 going on 30 age.
Yeah, I think I'm just gonna forever be at 29. We'll see. We'll see how I feel at 30. We'll see.
I mean, you have a whole year to get there. And I think by the time you're there, you're gonna be more mentally prepared for it.
Yeah, I think 30s will actually be really good.
Yeah. Should we finally start recording the episode?
Yes, let's start it.
So, we are talking about love languages.
It'd be interesting to know all about the history.
I do have all the history. I did do some more research, as I tend to do. So, love languages. It was invented by Dr. Gary Chapman, The Five Love Languages. It was a book he released in 1992, which is kind of crazy. I didn't realize it was so long ago because it feels very present day. Like it's just been really like top of mind for a lot of people, I feel like. I mean, I don't remember anyone talking about it when I was younger.
Yeah, I mean, the first time I heard about any love language was I used to get my skin done like every other week. I don't want to say my skin done, but like I would just go to an esthetician and, we become friends and she was telling me about like love languages and this and that. And it was so interesting. And she was like, I'm going to send you a link and you should take this test. And that was probably about like, ooh, I don't know. I mean, it was before Dom and I got together. So it had to be like 8 years ago.
I actually think there's more hidden under the release of this book than people are aware of, because I did a deep dive.
Well, I think that's true too, because I think people just take the love language test and then they like read up on their specific love languages because I've never read the book.
Yeah, so I didn't read the book. But I listened to a podcast where they did read the book and they basically did like a synopsis of it. So Dr. Gary Chapman, he got his doctorate of philosophy in education. So it wasn't even for relationships or anything like that. And the thing that really stuck out to me is he's very Christian. He is very involved in his church. He's a Christian pastor. He went to Moody Bible Institute for his BA, like his undergrad, and then got his doctorate, like, later. But he's very Christian, so very religious. And the thing that really, like my first, like, alarm, like, I first was like, oh, ding, like a little alarm chime went off, is when I saw that the book that came out in 1992, The Five Love Languages, the original, was released through a Christian publisher under Christian literature.
That's interesting.
And it actually turns out that Gary Chapman has no credentials to actually release a self-help book, and it had to be released under Christian literature if he wanted it to be released, which is very interesting. And then, further in my research, I saw that in 2010, the book was republished under a secular publisher. So anyone in art history knows secular means, not having any religious ties. I think that's when it really started to become more of a zeitgeist, like everyone's talking about it, was in 2010 when it was more mainstream instead of just Christian literature.
That makes sense.
It was a huge success in the Christian literature community. So it was a number one top seller. Even people outside of Christianity was reading it.
Yeah, because I feel like, I mean, in today's world, I feel like everybody's like, what is your love language? What is this? Like, it's crazy. I think it's a super well-known thing.
Yeah. So before we talk more about everything wrong with the love languages, because apparently there's a lot wrong with it, I feel like my inception of this idea for this episode kind of jumped off into something completely different because of the research that I found.
Mm.
So basically, the five love languages are...
I know there's quality time, words of affirmation, physical touch, gift giving, and acts of service.
I think it's receiving gifts, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then acts of service. Yeah, you're right. So those are all five. So it turns out that the development of the five love languages, it was not based on any clinical research or any studies. And since the release of the book and because it had such a big popularity, there's been more clinical research done and more studies on it. And they're finding like really mixed data, kind of showing like, not saying that it's not accurate, but more so saying like, it's not as big of a deal as people make it out to be. Like, it's not a big factor in a relationship. Like, there was one research that showed that if two individuals in a couple share the same receiving and giving language, it doesn't actually make them any happier than a couple that didn't share the same ones. So it's really interesting to see that it's more so to understand yourself.
Yeah, and that's how I've always looked at it is, one, it helps me understand myself, but it also helps me understand, you know, like your partner. Like, and I think that that's what you need in a relationship is you can't just always think about yourself. You also have to say, okay, this is my type of love language, but what about my partner's? And making sure that that's communicated, but also like you're trying to do that for them as well. Understanding what their love language is and ultimately trying.
Yeah, but like in the book, he's very like, you are in charge of your partner's happiness. Like they're very like, he's pushing that they're in charge of yours, you're in charge of theirs, which is not really the healthiest. And a lot of psychologists actually very much disagree with that. And I think like my understanding of it was always the same as yours, where it's like, well, this is mine. And like, I'll be aware of what theirs is and I'll, you know, help them with that. While in the original book, he's more saying, he calls it like filling up your partner's tank. And he's always talking about how what you're doing is to help your partner. Like you're doing it, you're learning the love language for them. Like you're learning what their love language is so you can be constantly filling up their tank. It had nothing to do with like filling up your own tank, which I personally feel if I'm receiving my version of a love language from my family, my work, my friends, like if I'm filling it, my tank will always be full. I don't need my partner to be constantly filling it up, you know? Like I don't need them to be constantly focused on words of affirmation, constantly telling me whatever, because that's like I'm getting it from external sources as well. And I think that's a healthier outlook on the love languages than what the original creator of the love languages was saying.
Interesting. It's kind of like... You make me think of like Vicky Gumbelson where she's like, my love tank. But I also think like...
Who is that, Vicky? Vicky Gumbelson? Who is that?
Vicky Gumbelson?
Who is that?
From Housewives of OC?
Oh, Vicky? Oh.
Vicky!
Oh my gosh. I never liked her.
Yeah, she always talks about her love tank.
Isn't she? She's on Ex Housewives.
Yeah, Ultimate Girlship. Have you watched?
Yeah. I've been watching.
So good. I have to catch up.
You know, she's probably, isn't she Christian? She probably learned about the love tank from the five languages.
Yeah, that's probably exactly where she got it. But interesting too is like, for sure, my top is like quality time. And like, yes, I love to have like quality time with my family. But I also, I don't know, like, I do prefer like my partner for sure to like always be mindful of that. But I don't necessarily know if like I expect or like really want my tank to be filled from like outsources, if that makes sense. I just don't know.
Yeah, I think it's something interesting to keep in mind that basically the inventor of the love languages doesn't even really have a clear picture of like a healthy day-to-day life of a relationship. Like he's focusing it on terms of like, first of all, he had no clinical, he wasn't like a relationship therapist or anything like that. He studied education in philosophy and he's an author. He's primarily an author, if anything else. Like that's where he got his money from. It was never from being like a psychologist. So I think like we can cherry pick from it, from like what we do agree with, because something else he says that I do agree with is these five love languages that everyone loves getting these five love languages. Like everyone enjoys all these things. It's not like, I hate getting gifts or I hate acts of service. It's more so like everyone loves to feel all these things. Like everyone loves to get all these, you know, different versions of love, but there's one that's your priority. And I do think that's true because I kind of do agree with that.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I also think like, one, I think it's really hard to, I mean, I don't know, I'm not a psychologist, but I also think like it's really hard to be like an expert on that subject just because I think to everybody, it's different for everybody. But I think like he is onto something, right? Where it's like, these are, and it could totally be different things, but like these are five things or maybe it's different things, but just being aware of those. But I also feel like, you know, I don't think his book is one to be like, oh, I have to follow this, like the Bible.
Yeah.
Or else I'm never going to find love or I'm never going to be loved, you know, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And, you know, also like he does say in his book, he was really honing in. He really loves to use like the language and like linguistics as like a metaphor. So he's saying like, if your partner only speaks Chinese and you're telling them how much you love them in Spanish, they're never going to understand what you're saying. Which I was like, okay, that's interesting. basically saying like, I love you in Spanish, but they only speak Chinese is like his version of saying, if your partner really accepts love, like feels loved with like physical touch and yours is acts of service, like those are not the same thing.
Mm. So Colby, what would your love language be?
So when I took the test, mine is physical touch is my top one and words of affirmation is my second, which is really interesting to me because I totally agree with it. And like physical touch to me isn't just intimate time. It's more so like I just want to feel you near me. Like I want to like hold your hand when we're walking around. I want to like if we're watching like TV, I want to like holding like your arm or like be like snuggled up. Like I'm very like a physical person. And like when I was like really little, my mom always said like I love to snuggle and my nickname was Snuggle Bugs because I love to snuggle so much. And so like physical touch really makes sense to me. Like I just love to be like physically feeling my person. I love hugs. And like, I also feel that way about like my friends. Like I love to like give everyone hugs and I love to be like snuggled up with the person I love. Like it doesn't even have to be romantic in any way.
Yeah.
So yeah, I had an ex-boyfriend who never wanted to hold my hand or, you know, walk with me or like do anything really simple, physical touch, just ways of sharing time together, basically. Mm-hmm. Which quality time is also very high on my list. It's actually tied with words of affirmation, which is kind of interesting also. But so he never wanted to like hold my hand. And there was like one moment, this was a few years ago. This was like 4 years ago now, something like that. And I didn't know about the love languages back then. And I never heard about them. I didn't hear about them until like 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago. I remember I had come to visit him and we were walking from his apartment. We were walking to like get coffee or something and I wanted to hold his hand and like I was grabbing him and we'd been dating at this point for like 4 months or something. Mm. And so I went to like hold his hand and he was like, no, like I just don't want to. And I was like, oh, you just like don't want to hold my hand. And he was like, just like, can you just like let go?
What?
I was like, okay. And I was so hurt.
Yeah, of course.
I was like on the verge of tears because it hurt me so much. Like we're walking to get coffee and you don't want to even like hold my hand.
Yeah.
I'm going to start crying now. And like, I don't even like care about this person anymore, like in that romantic way. And I just, it just hurt. It really, really hurt. And
because it makes you feel like you're not wanted, you know, not that you're not wanted, but it's just like, I'm supposed to be your girlfriend, yet you don't want to hold my hand? What?
And it's something so simple. And also it being like my number one love language, like it being my number one way of like receiving love is just like something so simple as holding my hand. And then for it to be so blatantly like rejected, like so harshly rejected also, it really, really hurt. Like I was really, I was like on the verge of tears. I was trying to hold it in. And he was just a jerk. And he was just like, he's like, oh, it's always something with you.
Ew.
And I was like,
no, it's something with you, sir.
Anyway, we broke up like
soon after,
like 2 weeks later, like not long after.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So obviously there's truth behind the love languages. Because mm-hmm. even before I knew what they were, I was still so emotional about rejection of my number one love language.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, but you kind of have to take them with a grain of salt. Like you can't base everything about your relationship on your love language. It's kind of more of a band-aid than it is a cure-all.
100%.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people in relationships using the love languages as a way to really cure the issues in their partnership. They're like, oh, I just need them to identify what their love language is, and then I can provide that, and they need to reciprocate my love language, and then everything will be fine. Everything will be fixed. There'll be no more issues. And while I do think it's beneficial for relationships to be conscientious of one another's love language, I don't think it's a determining factor of how this relationship will continue on.
Mm-hmm.
It's not related to like a breakup. Obviously, I wasn't getting my physical touch love language met, and that relationship ended up ending, probably for the best, right? But there's also yeah. other more pertinent issues as well. It wasn't just that they weren't respecting that was my physical touch love language.
No, yeah, I 100% agree. I think it's, like you said, it's not the end all be all, but it's definitely something I think, one, you need to be just being aware, but I don't think it's end all be all. I think it's like a bridge or like a level or, you know.
It's something to be able to say like an understanding. And so I was even doing like, I was like really thinking about this because I really went into like a big deep dive on this subject because my whole aspect of it was when you're hurt by that partner, how you react. But I'll get into that in a second because I did want to mention other stuff as well. I was thinking also like, and I saw this kind of quoted other places as well, that basically this is like a glorified 17 magazine test. Like it's like a socially acceptable teen magazine personality quiz.
Yeah, it's BuzzFeed 100%.
Yeah. It's just a BuzzFeed quiz. And it's like your attachment style, like that whole quiz and your Enneagram, like all those. I think even Enneagram is way more scientific than the five love languages.
Wait, I haven't taken that one, but I really want to. And then we should do a deep dive on that because I hear so many things about that. And they're like, it's spot on. I didn't want it to be spot on, but it's spot on. I'm like,
oh my God, I love my Enneagram. It's so accurate.
No, I have to try, but I'm scared. I'm fully scared. What if it tells me I'm like a psychopath? Who knows?
I don't know. My friend, she's really into it. And she was saying like at different times in your life, you can even become a different Enneagram. Oh, and then also where you're currently at, if you're an unhealthy version of that Enneagram, like it'll manifest differently. Like it's very interesting. We should do a deep dive on it.
Yeah.
But I always say I'm a 4-wing 3, which is all a Leo could ask for.
What the heck does that even mean?
The people who know, they know.
The people who get it, get it. Okay, I'm not one. I'm one that doesn't yet.
Yeah, it is really funny because I'm such a Leo that it all adds up.
I feel like you're just a Leo through and through.
Which is such a Leo attitude.
Which is such a Leo aspect.
Like just to be like a hardcore Leo is such a Leo thing.
You should post one of those things that say Little Miss Leo.
I don't get those memes. I don't think they're funny.
I don't either. I don't really get them either.
I also didn't like the book. I never thought the book was good. Like when I was a kid.
There's a book?
What do you mean there's a book?
I mean, I recognize the little character Kendall. Thing, but I'm like, from where? I just thought it was like a 90s thing. Like, oh, they look familiar and they're just turning, because they're turning anything into memes these days.
It's a childhood memory that you're like deep diving like in the recesses of your brain. It's there. It's a book from the 90s, I think, where it's like Little Miss Sunshine, Little Miss. And it was like a book of like all the little misses. And I think they turned them into shirts and stuff.
I feel like I recognize them. I mean, I recognize the characters for sure, but like can't tell you the backstory.
I just don't think it's a funny meme. I also like don't like to read them. I'm like this. Oh, I just got a text. Sorry. Anyway, moving on. They're going to die out so fast, too. Like, they're not sustainable memes.
No, everybody's just, haha, what a meme. I'm like, that's not how it works.
You tell them, Kendall.
It's not how it works. Just stay with the same stuff. If you do come out with something that is truly hilarious, then please share. But stop coming out with all this dumb stuff, please. One, I can't keep up. And two, it's just flooding my feed that I just stop, please.
Yeah, I think it'll be the death of Instagram if these memes continue because they're just too much. I can't do it. I just can't.
No, I can't.
Okay, anyway.
Sorry, sidetracked.
Okay, also just a side note about these love languages. The book itself is very heteronormative. The focus of the book is man and woman and how you two can have a healthy marriage and not get divorced. Very anti-divorce, very heteronormative for man and woman. I mean, he's very religious. Like, he's a very religious author. So it mm-hmm. makes sense that it would be very focused on, you know, cis relationships.
For sure. And I mean, I think, you know, back in the 90s, plus you saying, like, his background, I mean, it does make sense.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that's the end all be. I think the whole main gist is just the love languages in itself and just knowing what that is. And I think the rest of the book, mind you, I have not read it, is just fluff.
There was like one quote I saw where in the book, Gary Chapman, he's not this one language is for females and this one language is for men. Like, he's very like, this is, you know, what's the word? What is it? I have COVID fog and so do you. Unisex. Like, it can be like, it unisex, can go.
Yeah.
Yeah, unisex, like, can go either way. Like, not one language is primarily for men and one language is primarily for females. Like, he's not saying that, but there was one quote from the book where he was saying that male sexual desire is physically based, where female sexual desire is far more influenced by her emotions, which is just whatever. Like, it's like, okay, sure. I mean, whatever. I disagree, but fine.
But yeah, I think that's even hard to say because it's like, I mean, who's to say every woman is exactly like that? And every, you know, everyone is different. So,
I mean, he is making very broad statements throughout the entirety of the book. So it makes sense that he would also have a very broad statement on sexuality between the two genders, which mm-hmm. is whatever. I think why it really took off was because love is so hard to define as it is. It's so nice to have little boxes to put everything in, to be like, mine is this and yours is that. And now that we understand each other, everything's great. Mm-hmm. Those kind of like really simplifying it because it is very complex, love. And like, it's just, it feels nice to be able to be like, that's it. That makes total sense. When honestly, I don't think it's so serious. Like, I really do feel like it is a glorified BuzzFeed quiz. And it really took off in popularity because it can feel so easy to put like a label on it. Because everyone wants to be able to mm-hmm. organize really complex concept. The concept of love is so, it's so dissected that like we're still talking about it today. Like, it's one of the number one things we talk about as a culture. And that goes back all the way to like Jane Austen writing about Pride and Prejudice. Like, literally, like, it goes back thousands of years about love, and we still haven't figured it out. So why would this guy who doesn't even have a degree in psychology like be able to simplify it to the basics of it's five things and that's it?
Oh, for sure. I mean who can really even define it? And I think it's also different for everybody in general. Like, I think everybody would probably describe it in a different way, and everybody needs love in a different way, and everybody loves in a different way, regardless of your five attributes and what percentage each one is.
Online, there's even this whole debate about how there needs to be more than five love languages because I have a sixth and like I have a seventh. I even think like some people might not fall into any of these boxes. Like, there might even be like their own version of a different five. It's just that you don't have to simplify it so much and that be like, this is it. That's all there is.
I agree. I think it's a good jumping off point. Like, go ahead, you know, take this quiz and find out what is what. And it's a good starting off point. But I think what it comes down to is communicating with your partner and just really finding how they define love and how they want to be loved without being like, how do you want to be loved? Do you want acts of service, quality time? Like, no, like, tell me how you want to be loved. and how do you define it? And how do you define a relationship and this and that? I think it comes down to more communication with your partner rather than what box you fit in.
So now I want to touch on the real concept that I realized that made me want to do a deep dive into love languages and understanding them better and like where it started from. So I was thinking like a loved one hurts you. They do something, they say something that really hurts you. That can be like a partner or a friend or family member, whatever it is. I don't want my love language from that person. If I am in the thick of hurting, if I'm really in my emotions, if I'm really like hurting for whatever reason, like I don't want to be touched. I like don't want to give you any words of affirmation. I love being able to give people words of affirmation, but when I'm hurt or when you hurt me, I'm not going to be able to summon up the energy to be able to give you that word of affirmation. Like it's like setting my ego aside to like give you a word of affirmation hurts me because it's a love language. I even realized, I keep thinking about this one time back in like 2019, I was seeing this guy, him and I were like doing really well and I was really liking him. Him and I had been like seeing each other for like 3 months, but we weren't like official or anything like that. And when he ended things, he was very kind with it. He was like a total sweetheart about it, but he like went to like touch my arm to like console, like, you know, console me or whatever. Cause I was like, oh, I'm, you know, kind of upset. I wasn't crying yet. I was just like, oh, you know, like I'm kind of like bummed out. Like I, you know, thought we were good, whatever. Like he was grabbing my arm to say like, no, like you're a great person. It's just, I don't think we're meant to be together, whatever it was. And I was,
yeah,
like he was a really good person. And my instinct was don't touch me. Like I pulled back and I said, don't touch me, which is like so aggressive.
What a Leo.
Oh my gosh. But like my instinct was like, don't touch me. Like, I don't want to be touched by you because you're currently hurting me. And then same thing, if like I get into like a fight with like my mom or my stepdad, I'm like, don't touch me. Like, don't touch me right now. Like, I don't want to be touched by you. Like, I don't want to hug you. Like, I don't want physical touch because you are currently hurting me. Mm-hmm. So that was something I wanted to discuss on further, because I'm not sure if anyone else had noticed that or, you know, felt that way or agree with what I'm saying.
I think you're so valid with that because I'm the same way. Like I said, I'm quality time. And if you're pissing me off or if like I'm just mad, it's like I don't want to be around you. I don't want to look at you. Like, it's just like I need my own space now and I'm going to be by myself. And it takes time.
You're like, if I'm upset, I just need to be away from you. Like, I just don't want to see you. I don't want to hear you. I just need to go away.
Yeah, because I get really mad. So I'm also like, I need to be by myself and like calm my own self down. And then it's, you know, and then if they come into my space, then I just feel like you are also like intruding in my space. So back up. I totally agree. Totally understand, because I don't want you in my space if I'm feeling hurt by you or if I'm feeling not loved at that moment. If I'm mad, please. I need my space.
Yeah. So that's why I do think like it's good to know your love language to be able to also be able to say when you're angry, which is really the point of where the most growth happens, right?
Honestly, 100%. I think that's the issue, is when you're upset, how are you handling that? And I think I also need to work on that too. Like, that's something like I could work on, but it's like when you're upset and you're purposefully like, I need my space, I need this. It's like, well, yeah, I understand, but how are you going to move forward with that? Like, there has to be a better way than us like flinching or doing this, you know? It's like we need to be better at communicating that to our partners or whomever, whatever relationship like you're applying that to.
Yeah, because like externally, if I was the other person in that moment when I instantly was like, don't touch me, I would have been like, oh, like I would have, it would have been personal. Like, it wouldn't have been like, like, oh, she just doesn't like to be touched when she's upset. Like, it would be more like, you don't want me to touch you. I need my partner to understand that it's not about, it's not that I don't love you and it's not that I don't want you to touch me in general. It's like, right now I'm upset and I don't want to be touched. Like, at all, by anybody. Like,
yeah,
I just don't want to be touched. And now that I'm like thinking about it even more, there's been so many instances, like even my friend, when we were like, I was having a panic attack in public and they tried grabbing my hand to like make me feel better. And I snapped and I went, don't touch me. Even then, like I I'm starting to realize I have never communicated it to other people that when I'm feeling overwhelmed, like really in a horrible anxious moment or really hurt or like I'm really feeling pain right then, I don't want to be touched. And I need to like express that more to my family and friends and significant others to be like, this isn't about you. When I'm really upset, please don't ever touch me because I will react from a place of emotion and I will immediately snap and say, don't touch me. And it'll come off harsher than I ever mean it to. And it's more so just like, I just cannot be touched right then.
Yeah. So what do you think too, like if when you're like that, like let's go back to even when you said like you were having a panic attack and they wanted to grab your hand, because I also feel when that happens, like my go-to would probably be like, let me try to comfort you in some way, whether that's like embracing you to make you feel more comfortable, right? And you're like, back up. What do you think would be a way to comfort you like in that moment? Like, what do you need? Is that like you just need space right now? Or is that like when you need quality time? Or is this even like outside of those five buckets that we talked about?
I think it's even outside of it. Like, I think like mainly don't touch me, first of all.
Yeah.
Anything but that. And I think like it's like I just need to feel supported. I think it's really outside of just what the love languages are, like what I need from you in that moment. I think I need from you is just to feel supported and like to be kind of like talked through it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like flooding back to me all these moments when I'm like thinking about the time I've snapped at someone saying, don't touch me. And I'm just remembering their faces afterwards. It's starting to like hurt me, like imagining all their faces because they're so offended because they are being very genuine. Like they are really trying to help me in that moment and they really are trying to comfort me and console me or whatever. And I am so aggressive and I'm like so aggressive with it. And now I feel bad because I'm like, it's not personal. I'm sorry. Like,
yeah.
I want to reach out to them and be like, do you remember that time when, but I don't even think they remember,
I'm really
but like,
sorry,
I'm just like picturing their faces and I'm like, they took it so much worse than I even realized. Like they're taking it to like a really like personal level, especially like if I am trying to console someone, my instinct would be to touch them because like I said, my love language is touching. So I'm like, I need to show you I love you because obviously you're hurting. I'm going to touch like your arm or your hand or whatever. And if you snap back at don't touch me, I'm probably going to be hurt by that as well. So I think it comes down to communication.
Exactly.
Really, I think whether it's you're hurting or whether it's you're trying to receive love like in not a moment of pain or hurt, I think everything about these love languages and everything about this whole concept really comes down to just knowing the person.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you want in any partnership, any relationship, any like one-on-one level. Like you just want to feel known.
Exactly. I think it honestly just boils down to communication. No offense to Danny, what's his face, but it's like,
who the hell is Danny?
Isn't that the person who wrote the book?
Gary.
Gary. No offense to you, Gary, but I think like that's what it boils down to is like, one, for you to even know what each other's love languages is, you need to communicate that. So it's like, let's just cut the BS a little and like, let's just communicate with one another. But I think that's the book we need is more of when you're feeling hurt, what do you do? That's what we need is to figure out when we're hurting and these are, I don't want to say love languages because like we said, there could be so many different things other than those five, what, like, you know, what would be most beneficial for you? And is that like, not an Enneagram or whatever, like, is there one that is similar?
I mean,
maybe it's just communication.
That is
communicate.
The true, like, you want a relationship to really work. You really want, if you really want this whole thing to be okay, like all it takes is a little communication.
Honestly, that is the only love language. Sorry, Danny, Gary, whoever you are, that's the love language. Gary, that's the real love language, is communication. Sorry. Yeah. Your number one should just be communication,
regardless of whether you love receiving gifts, regardless of X, Y, and Z. it really just boils down, we're going to the simplest of terms, really just boils down to communication.
Yeah. So stop taking these BuzzFeed quizzes. I'll tell you what your result is. Congratulations. Your number one love language is communication. And what that means is talk to your partner. Thank you.
Yeah, but in order also, like, in order to be able to communicate with your partner, you have to know yourself. You have to know what it even is you want. What even is it that you need, you know? So understanding yourself, and maybe that is an easier way to communicate, boiling it down to love languages. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe something as simple as that. Like, maybe that's easier to communicate than just saying, like,
yeah,
if they're going to understand better you saying my love language is quality time versus I need to spend time with you, then say it that way. But being able to know yourself, being able to know what you want, what you need, and being able to communicate that, I think is key.
Yeah. And even if you guys don't know what that is at that moment, just saying, like, I'm not sure at this moment in time, but this is what I'm leaning toward, and this is what I'm feeling. And if you find that that changes over time, which I'm sure it will, continue to just communicate that. And it's like, okay, before it was this, but now I'm leaning a little bit more this way. This is some things that I need. It's because it's really like, if you don't voice it, how are people going to know? Like, how is that person supposed to know what it is you need? Like, closed mouths don't get fed. So you're either going to keep your mouth shut and starve, or, you know, you're going to communicate what you need and you'll have that abundance.
And I love what you just said about it can change. Like, that is, mm-hmm. I think, something else that I don't think is ever mentioned in the books or anything. Like, your love language can change. Like, you, mm-hmm. like, that's what I love about Enneagrams, right? Like, you can change at a different point in your life. Like, your love language can totally change. Say your life has changed, like you had a baby or something, you know, you guys got married or you moved in together. Like, maybe your love language then changes to acts of service. Like, maybe it does change. Like, you don't have to be putting yourself in this box and staying with it. Mm-hmm. And I think also, like, people love to be able to define themselves and then say, well, this is what I am. This is what I'm sticking to. I'm not going to change. I'm going to stay with, you know, I've already defined myself as hating hot Cheetos. I can now never love hot Cheetos, you know?
Never.
I think because people want to, like, have a good understanding of themselves, they hold on to something that they've realized, and they feel like they can't change it from there. They realize they can't grow or, you know, morph into something else. But the world around you is changing. It makes sense that you change as well. Like, you can have an understanding mm-hmm. of yourself, sure. Like, you can hate hot Cheetos now, and you can say you hate hot Cheetos, but it's okay then to one day go, you know what? Hot Cheetos, delicious. Which they are, factually.
Delicious. Honestly, I don't trust you if you don't like them, but it's fine. It's fine.
But it's okay to one day say, you know what? I think I like this. It's okay to say that.
Exactly. Have a growth mindset. Totally, totally worth it.
Have a growth mindset. Yeah. So that's what I was thinking. That was, like, really what I came down to. It was just, like, I feel like there were, like, little, like, sparks of, like, aha moments, you know, quoting Oprah.
Totally epiphany, because, I mean, even before this episode, too, it's, like, I was totally, like, into love language. What's your love language? What's yours? And, like, you know, trying to be mindful. But, like, I think you're absolutely right when it's, like, not everybody can be put in these five boxes, and not everything can be summed up within those five boxes. And it's nothing that you should just base your whole relationships on. Like, this is not astrology. This is not, like,
I honestly feel like astrology has even more truth to it than these love languages do.
Well, I mean, and that's also hard too, right? Because it's like, please tell me, like, really what the true definition of love is. And I'm not talking about, like, definition. And I also feel like that's hard. What does Webster say?
The true definition. Let's Google the definition of love. Let's see what love is. It is the intense feeling of deep affection. Okay.
All right. Which I think an affection is totally different for every single person. So, you know, take these tests that you're taking with a grain of salt. I think, like I said before, it's a great jumping start, but just know that it's probably a better jumping start for communication and something to talk through with your partners or relationships that you have in life. But really just take it as a grain of salt, but also, like, you know, keep your mind open and just listen to what the other people are saying.
Yeah. And it is so much fun to, like, go around asking people what their love language is, because everyone's different. I've also even started noticing, like, asking people, like, what their love language is, them saying, like, oh, well, the quiz said I'm receiving gifts. But I also think, and they like branch up. I think the modern use of love languages is more so a jumping off point than what it had mm-hmm. been 30 years ago, which was like, here are the boxes that we're sticking to.
Yeah. What are you in? Can't get out.
Yeah. So that was it. I think my biggest, like, epiphany was realizing you just want to feel known. You just want to feel understood. Either way, like, you're angry, you're hurt, whatever, you're just looking for love, you're happy, you want them to love you. Like, you just want to feel known. You want to feel like they're understanding what you need from them. That's all it comes down to, feeling known, knowing yourself. Those are my biggest epiphanies. So
100% agree. You've really... Thank you for, one, doing all of the research.
You're so welcome. But also, you have just COVID. Like,
yeah, I know. Ugh. I'm hoping that this just nips it in the bud. But thank you for doing all of that research. But also, like, I thought we were going to go somewhere totally different. And it's crazy just where it's like you said, epiphanies and, like, eye opening left and right. It really just boils down to communication and figuring out yourself.
Yeah, I fully thought going into this, we were going to have a fun talk about, like, love languages and, like, you know, what each one is and, like, how that shows in a relationship. Like, I really thought it was going to be a different route than what we ended up taking.
Mm-hmm. Which is cool. But I love where we ended up, because it's like, yeah, we need to stop putting ourselves in these boxes and just love how you love and realize that other people like to be loved probably a different way as well. But, like, understanding, it comes down to communication and understanding.
Yeah, 100%. I think this is a really good discussion. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Looking into all of it. Yeah, it's always fun to discuss, like, things that you already know about, but, like, you're kind of, like, flipping it on its head. You're kind of like, let me think about this in a mm-hmm. different light. Which I always think that's fun.
And I'm actually really excited, because I think it'll be fun to take that other Enneagram test, if I'm saying that right, and deep diving into that. It's like we just found a whole nother topic.
I know. Like, what else could we, like, you think you know something. That's what's so crazy is, like, going into this, mm-hmm. I thought I knew the five love languages. Like, I thought I knew
yeah.
each one and, like, how I needed it or whatever, but it totally morphed into something else and realizing you don't need to define yourself just by these five love languages. So it's kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. And I would love to see where Enneagram takes us as well.
I know. It'll be so fun.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think it'll be great. But this is great. And now you know, if I'm ever really hurting or if I'm ever having a major anxiety attack, don't touch me, please.
Don't touch her or else you might get offended.
I might just bite your head off. Who knows?
Yeah, she's going to bite your head off.
I'm going to ruin you.
Little Miss Leo.
Alrighty, well, this is great. I hope you feel better soon and I get to see you soon so I can give you your birthday present.
Thank you. I'm really hoping that I will be back soon. And, you know, guys, it's really going around right now. So just stay safe, stay healthy. Just do what you can. Put a mask on when you're in a crowded place and
rest. Stay safe. I think what really did it for me, why I was, like, hit so hard, is because I wasn't resting, like, at all before I got COVID. Like, I literally was staying up till 3 a.m. editing the podcast and, like, doing all these things and then waking up at 7 to get to work.
Oh, yeah. Your body was already...
Yeah, my immune system probably was just crashing because I was not resting. Yeah. I wasn't taking care of myself. I was acting like there wasn't a pandemic going on and I could operate at 120% at full steam ahead, mm-hmm. which is what I'd been doing pre-pandemic. And even then, I still crashed, but I didn't crash as hard as I did this past 2 weeks because I crashed with COVID. So, like, mm-hmm. I was hit hard with COVID because my immune system was just, like, effed up.
Yeah, but exactly.
So resting before you get COVID, making sure you're allowing yourself to take time to rebuild your own health in general, not just while you have COVID.
Exactly. stay hydrated, stay rested, stay healthy, and just
take
stay
your vitamin
safe.
C.
Yeah, my brother says you need to take vitamin C, D, and zinc. Well, this was such a great conversation. I think we learned a lot. I think not just about love, but just about relationships in general. And
I think it's something really great to, like, you know, start a conversation, like start talking with your partners and start talking with your family. Like, you know, this is just some food for thought. Hopefully what this leads to is better relationships for the listeners with their partners or their family or whoever, because now they have an even better understanding of who they are and what they need and a better understanding of themselves.
Exactly. So I challenge you to communicate with your loved ones, those that you value the relationship with, and just continue to build on those. Communication is key.
Communication's key, and knowing what you need and what you want. Yeah. Well, this was fun. Love ya.
Love ya. Bye.
Bye.